We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And the reason I'm laughing is I'm working the boards again, and I'm just ready to turn on the mics and start the show. And all of a sudden, my spring-loaded microphone jumps across the room. What is with this?
So if you see him in the Pope with a black eye tomorrow morning, folks, you know right. Why. He fought the mic and the mic won.
I fought the mic and the mic won.
That's catchy.
All right, we are continuing our look at the favorite Bible passages, and I must say that the one we have today and the one we have next week, by the way, Matt reveals them to me, but no one else. And I have sworn not to tell them, so...
We appreciate that.
That's right.
We do.
I know I'm good at keeping secrets. Okay.
You're a pastor after all.
That's right.
Your lips are sealed.
The pledge of the confession. So anyway, we're going to get on to that for a second. But before we do that, there is an important announcement I need to make. As you know, Matt, we have been taking on Big Kale.
Yes.
Yes. But we kind of laid back because of threats. I woke up and there was a cabbage head on the pillow next to mine.
A head of cabbage.
And a little note that says, cabbage isn't the only thing that can be chopped up. And so we've kind of backed off from Big Kale. But I was wondering, why? Why such a response? What are they trying to hide?
Something is being hit.
Something's being hit, and I found out what it is. So next week, we'll reveal to you the deep, dark secret that Big Kale.
Oh,
doesn't want you to know. And I'm not going to tell you what it is now, but right now you better lay off the kale smoothies until you hear what we've got to tell you next week.
Okay? Oh, boy. So you can get it all here at Wrestling the Basics. Boy.
That's right.
Hard-hitting news. Investigative reporting.
That's right. We're going to get a Pulitzer for this one, I think.
Oh, how could we not?
This is going to be like Big Tobacco. Remember how Big Tobacco was, smoke a cigarette, it'll make you healthy. And then we found out, no, it causes cancer and heart disease.
Yeah.
You just wait until I'm going to reveal what kale does to you. Okay, if I live that long, I probably should do it because who knows what might happen between now and next week once Big Kale hears that their secret's going to be out. And you have a secret too, the secret Bible passage. Let's get started. Where are we at now? Is this 7? 8?
Let's see here. This is number, 7.
7.
Yes, number 7.
I had
Good.
To count backwards.
I got to count backwards because we're in this time warp of radio again. And
right, because you've
we're
probably
We're counting down at Ascension. I'm counting down here at Wrestling with the Basics.
Have you
we're
finished the series?
The
have you finished
no,
the series?
No, we're not.
We've not finished
the series.
So that's a good thing we're still keeping tight-lipped about this.
Yes.
So we are doing favorite Bible study number 7.
Yes.
By the way, this is 1, 2, 3. Wrestling with the basics. Did you say who you are?
No, that's okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who are you?
Pastor Matt Clark, Matt Youngblood Clark, from Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's okay.
I'm a little bit befuddled. It's VBS week
blame
for me.
It between the microphone VBS. You know, I can't blame you.
The microphone really threw me off my
I'm just glad you're still
too.
Conscious and it didn't knock you out completely.
I know. Well, it just sprung up at me. Big Kale, they've rigged the microphones. All right, anyway, so get us started here on number seven.
Good. Thanks for the fanfare. Number 7. See, as I introduce these verses, from the pulpit, I try to be kind of inductive. I don't want to just give it away right away.
I know.
I'm trying to keep people in suspense.
I know.
And I know you don't like that, John.
No, that's okay.
I'm sorry, but we're just.
But just get on with the.
Okay. Before you whammy with that sound effect, you have the pointer.
It's ready.
Ready, cued. If I don't get to the point here.
By the way, when you're telling these little stories.
Thank you.
Here's a good idea. Have a point.
All right.
It makes it so much more interesting. And
don't make me use it again. All right,
itchy
ahead.
Trigger finger.
That's right.
All right. Well, this verse has to do, I will say, with fear. Okay, it addresses fear.
Okay. All right.
So
I did a little research.
I did a little research from Chapman University. Recently published results of Americans' top 10 fears.
Oh, okay. Fears. Another top 10. All right.
That's right. I'm trying to work top 10 lists.
You're
going to
be the
top
10 guy.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, Dave Letterman retired, so someone's got to take up the mantle of the top 10 list. So according to this top 10 list, again, this is university research. Number 10 is darkness. Number 9 fear of Americans, zombies.
And I'm thinking, says something about the United States. Okay, 9 is zombies.
Number 8, strangers. Number 7, flying. Number 6, claustrophobia, tight spaces.
Okay.
I understand that. Number 5, blood or needles, all those things. Number 4, drowning. Number 3, the fear of bugs, snakes, spiders, and other creepy crawly animals. Number 2 is heights. And the number 1 fear of Americans is... Any guesses?
No, I have no idea. You've covered all my fears. I don't think there's anything else that I'm afraid of.
Well, I don't think you're afraid of this one. Public speaking.
Oh, there
public
you go.
Speaking.
That's why I wouldn't have thought
fear.
Of that.
Isn't that something?
Is that right?
Number 1, apparently.
So a lot of people out there are being forced into speaking in public. For grabbing people off the street.
No,
you speak in public. No, you're going to.
We've rounded up a crowd of people for you to talk in front of.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Ah, boy. Okay, anyway.
What's that bug crawling up your leg, by the way?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So as we think about those fears, the reason I bring up that list is, you know, it's fears, I think sometimes we think of just children, I'm afraid, you know, the dark and whatever else. But no, it's adults, it's everyone who has these fears. Sometimes they're realistic fears, like things like, you know, perhaps it's good to have a fear of strangers, for instance, or a fear of heights. Some of them are... unrational fears, like the fear of zombies, for instance,
yes. That was number 9, really?
Yeah, exactly. Number 9.
What, do they just run out of things or something? Okay.
Well, God's word in this verse addresses fear.
And in fact, if I butt in here,
yes.
Because I did a little study,
there's
actually two different words for fear.
Yeah, it comes up twice in one verse.
And they're very different kinds of fear, too.
Well, I'll bring that up later.
Yep.
Good. And, you know, for the folks at Ascension where I serve, for them to pick this as their verse, and I'm sure for our listeners, this verse is one of their... probably a beloved verse of them too. I think that kind of speaks to the fact that we need something to address those fears in our life, and God's word does just that.
You know what's strange though, Matt, now as I'm thinking about that, because this is the problem. I'm frightened. There are things that are frightening me right now. What I'm surprised, how come illness wasn't on that list? That's what I'm frightened of. I'm getting old and I got to go see the doctor in a couple weeks. And
some of those more, I guess, quote unquote, rational fears, fears like that. No, they're not really on the list. You know, that's kind of what surprised me, too. Some of these are things that, should we even be afraid of these?
Yeah. Cancer, heart disease, prostate cancer.
Yeah,
these are things.
Scary.
Okay.
But then, you know, as we read this verse further, should we even be scared of those things? You know, when it comes to even health issues.
We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
When we get
the
passage.
Building this up even a little more to John's chagrin. Sorry.
Okay.
The writer of this psalm, where this verse comes from, is the same.
Okay.
Sorry,
we're getting closer. It's in the Psalms.
It's in the Psalms. You got a 150 shot to guess what psalm it is. 150 shot. But it's the same writer. Here's another clue of last week's verse we talked about. David is the same writer.
He wrote a lot of them. That would have been a safe guess, probably.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So that really doesn't narrow it down much. But, you know, when we think about David's life, lots of things that could have caused fear in his life. If he had a top 10 list of fears, he could probably fill all 10. But I think one of the things would be the fear of his enemies, you know, people out to get him. We think about his being on the run from Saul. We think of different enemies before
his
he was
own
king.
Son.
His own son, Absalom. I know.
Yeah.
Your own son is your enemy, even. But I think maybe the biggest one, the one that comes to our mind maybe first and foremost, is David when he battles Goliath. Yeah, that's the one we know even from early on. So that account is in 1 Samuel chapter 17.
I didn't think he was afraid of Goliath, though.
Well, that's what we're going to look at.
Okay.
So I let me tell you, if David wasn't afraid of Goliath, everyone else seems to be.
That's right.
Right?
You would be afraid of Goliath.
Yes.
You think Big Kale is something to worry about. Goliath is something to worry about.
Big Philistine, Goliath, he's something to worry
about. So if we were back then, we would have been doing the show about Goliath.
Yeah, yeah.
We wouldn't have been talking about Big Kale. We've been talking about
Big Goliath.
Big Goliath.
And I think he is hazardous to your health.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He's got
no
a spear and a sword
it.
And a shield.
But yeah, let's talk about this.
Okay.
So to set the context here, David's not really fighting with the army of Israel at this point. He's, I think we can pretty safely say, under the age of 20. 20 is when he really started to serve in the army of Israel. But he goes, sent by his dad, to visit some of his brothers who are fighting the army.
Yep.
To see how they're doing, to bring him some food. And when he gets there, David is disturbed to see that this guy Goliath, this champion of the Philistines, is going out and mocking the Israelites and mocking God, even worse, challenging someone to fight him. But everyone's scared, paralyzed by fear. And, you know, perhaps in some respects, understandably so. Goliath, we're told, is over 9 feet tall. His armor weighs over 125 pounds. His spear has a tip that weighs 15 pounds. I mean, this guy's a fighting machine. That's what he's been bred to do as this champion.
This is the Old Testament version of a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got Goliath, the human tank. Boy. Yeah. So anyway, David is kind of disgusted by this. You know, why isn't anyone going to fight him? And David says, you know, I will do it. And, you know, people think, understandably, are you crazy? His brothers and even Saul seems to question what he's going to be doing here. But David doesn't seem to be afraid throughout this entire account. But instead, he looks to the Lord. The Lord casts out fear. And he says, you know, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand, the paw of this Philistine.
Yeah.
You know, that confidence. You know, that as a shepherd, he was delivered so many times from the wild animals. He'll be delivered from this guy too. To skip down here, David goes out in the field of battle armed with his staff and his sling and his five smooth stones that he picked out. And the Philistine, Goliath, starts to make fun of him. Let's see here. So if we're looking in 1 Samuel 17, how about beginning with verse 43? We get to hear some of the mocking that takes place. Verse 43.
Verse 43. Yeah. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" I always love that phrase. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And by the way, thank you for pointing that out. This is not just a matter of Goliath and the Philistines against the Israelites, but he's been insulting the God of the Israelites. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Defiled would work too, but it says defied there. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.
Yeah, isn't that great?
So that's a neat one. Yeah, no fear here.
No fear
here. Courage.
Yes, courage.
Fear not and have courage with you, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. That's in the Bible, too.
Joshua 1:9.
Yeah, oh, you know that one.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
It might be one of my best-loved Bible passages.
Okay, well, let's hope we didn't give something away.
courage here, but and fearlessness. But what I think is so beautiful, it's not because of his own ability. I've been practicing with my slingshot, Goliath. You better watch out. You know, not that at all. But David, this whole time, no, because the Lord's with him.
Yep.
The Lord will give
that's
you
the key
into,
thing.
Into our hands. What a statement of faith. And we know the end of the story, right? How he slings just one stone. It sinks into his forehead. Goliath falls to the ground. David chops his head off even. We don't always hear that in our Sunday school stories, but it really did happen. And the Lord does deliver the Goliath into his hand. Not because it's a lucky shot with the slingshot, but no, it's the work of the Lord. So I think from this account, we see that in the face of fear, God gives David faith. Faith that the Lord is mighty to save.
But like you said, the key thing is it's not faith in David.
Yeah.
He's not believing in himself. In fact, if this had been a different circumstance, he probably wouldn't have been so bold. But the problem is, as the text says, he's defied the Lord. Well, you can't do that. The Lord will not allow that. And that's what gives him his boldness and his confidence.
Yeah, and exactly. It's the object of his faith is the Lord, not himself, not his slingshot. And the thing, too, that David recognizes the purpose of all this isn't just to prove that he's a great, David is a great warrior or a guy who should be the next king or something.
That actually ends up being the problem, isn't it? When he begins to think of himself as the great warrior and the great king, that's when he starts to have his downfall.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But here, the purpose, at least at this point, David recognizes, is so that the Lord is glorified.
I'm just the servant of the Lord. Yeah. By the way, I don't know, someone had mentioned to me that he takes 3 stones.
I think 5 stones.
Oh, 5 stones, okay. So he was thinking, I might miss on the first one. No, don't you think there's a kind of a humility in that, too?
I don't know.
I might take 5 stones.
Yeah, people have debate, maybe, and if that's the case, it's not a lack of trust in God.
No.
Maybe in his own ability, or maybe there's some speculation, Goliath had relatives and he
might have to kill some other people.
Might be other
there
Goliaths.
You go. Other people
there,
rush out
giants
to,
there too.
Yep. Yeah.
But regardless, we see the confidence is in not his stones, not his staff, not anything but the Lord.
But I do like that thought too, that it doesn't mean we have to be stupid. He did at least bring some stones and he had his slingshot. It wasn't like he was going to go out there and God would strike him down with a lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm.
No. There's a foolishness that sometimes parades as courage. And we're not asking people. I've got people saying to me, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor because the Lord will heal me. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe, but more likely the Lord will heal you through the doctor.
Yeah.
The Lord will deliver you through your 5 stones and your catapult, as the English say it.
Oh, is that what they call a slingshot?
That's what they call a slingshot. They call it a catapult.
Sometimes it sounds more fancy, sophisticated.
Doesn't it?
Well, and I think of Jesus, his words in the face of Satan's temptation, don't put the Lord your God to the
test. That's right.
Just go out in the field of battle with nothing. We don't put God to the test.
No.
We give the means he's given to us, sure. And we use those, whether it be slingshot or the physician, as you pointed out. And we still recognize that God works through those instruments, those tools, those means.
Now, can I share with you, because my son, Tim, actually used this. He's doing a sermon series about great heroes in the Old Testament this summer. And so I had an insight on this I'd never had before. Can I share that real quick?
Sure.
Okay. Don't want to interrupt your flow, but it struck me. I always love this passage where it says, for the Lord does not deliver with sword. The Lord does not save with sword and spear. And I just like that. Because, see, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll trust you, God, if you give me an equally big tank or maybe give me anti-tank grenades or something. But, no, the whole point is that isn't how God saves. He never saves with power and with strength. He always saves with weakness, with little Davids who are totally outmanned. And that's how he saves us, too, not with strength and power. That's what we want him to do. Give us the strength and the power, and we'll trust in you, Lord. But he says, no, I want you to trust in the weakness of my son who suffered and died on the cross. That's how I save people, not with sword and spear. So I never caught that phrase before this year.
No, I think that's a beautiful insight. And the Lord saves not with sword and spear. No, just the opposite. Peter, put your sword away.
Good point.
No, he saves through a cross.
Exactly.
He saves through an empty tomb. And wow. And that would be the last thing that someone would expect to be saved through is a cross. But that's what he saves through. Yeah, through weakness and death.
So we're just pointing out, this is a Jesus story. This isn't a David and Goliath story. This is a story of the Lord who's still delivering us today.
Yeah. Yes. And we still have not gotten to the verse, but we are now.
Okay.
So,
are we?
Yes.
All right.
So, John, if you can open
it
up. And our verse today is
it's a psalm.
Psalm chapter 27, verse 1.
Wait.
Oh, good. Another fanfare. Thank you. And as you read these words, I wonder, and I'm speculating, maybe David's thinking about his past enemies or his current enemies, too. Maybe he's thinking about this episode with Goliath where the Lord delivered him. And with those thoughts in mind, perhaps he writes these words in Psalm 27, verse 1.
And that's such a neat thought, because now last time he was reflecting on his failure, his fall into sin But now maybe you're right. He's thinking about, but again, it's all about the Lord.
The Lord, yeah, as we'll see here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
As soon as John's ready to read.
No, I should press the thing for myself here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord, again and again. I like that. You know, two times, like you point out, it talks about fears or being afraid, but two times also it reiterates, the Lord is my light, my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold.
And by the way, for those of you who aren't following along in the scripture, that is Lord with four capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which in the Hebrew is
Yahweh.
Yep. The name of God, the personal name of God, the first name basis God that we have, who we now know by Jesus.
Yes. Why don't you share your insight? Yeah, the fear. Did you want to talk about the fear?
What's interesting, he says, whom shall I fear? And the word there for fear is the fear of anticipation. Yeah. Of things that are ahead that we haven't even experienced. In fact, right now we want to say a prayer for Rufus Resba, who might have surgery, but we don't know whether he's having surgery or not. But we're already frightened about it, just the possibility. Yeah. So there's that fear. But the thing that tickled me, the other fear, when it says, of whom shall I be afraid, that actually means to tremble. That's the fear when, you got a good reason to fear because you actually are standing in front of the giant Goliath and he is holding his spear and his sword and all of that stuff. So I just thought both the fears that you anticipate and also the fears that you experience because you have a real reason to be afraid, this answer is the same. The Lord's your stronghold. He's the one that's going to deliver you and all of that. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, I love it because it talks about those future fears, maybe even irrational fears that we talked about earlier.
So it's not just the zombies.
Yeah, not just the zombies. But even those trembling fears, things that, maybe they are, something that make anyone afraid, right?
Because I am going into surgery today. That is a reality. Yeah.
But yet, we don't have to be afraid, even of those things that are very real.
And I'm sorry, but I was just thinking, and the neat thing is, if you are afraid, it doesn't make any difference because this is still true. You don't have to be afraid, but this is still true. Even if you are, your fear isn't going to nullify the promise of this text.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think for our listeners, what are the Goliaths in their life? What are the fears that they face?
Good point.
And maybe it is the future. I think that's true for many people. Maybe it's our nation. Maybe we're worried about the path that's going. Maybe we're worried that we have, three dozen candidates for president at this point.
And one of them is Donald Trump.
Who are we going to choose from?
Okay.
Or maybe it's, it's something a little more personal. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's our grandchildren. Maybe it's our credit card debt. Who knows? The list goes on and on and on and on.
Now you talk about the kids, and that is what we worry about. We worry about the kids and the grandkids. Okay.
But the source of the thing that casts out our fears, whether they're real fears, irrational fears, big fears, little fears, remains the same. And I love how David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. We don't need to be afraid because of the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the one whose very name means salvation.
That's
the Lord
what I was going to say. Yeah, the root
Jesus
word there
Jesus himself.
Is, that's the name
exactly.
The word for Jesus. Yeah.
Because through him, not by slingshot or javelin or sword, but through that cross, through that empty tomb, the victory has already been won. The victory over those Goliath-sized fears. There's no need to be afraid. The fears, the victory's been won ultimately. And in one day, he's going to return. He's going to make all things right. And we look forward to that day. But thanks be to God. The victory's won. We don't have to be afraid.
And that thought you just had is actually wrapped up in the word life there in the Hebrew, because most of the Mesopotamian religions use the word life in terms of a mortal life. But that word that's actually used there in Hebrew implies that there is a mortal life, but there's also an immortal life. That's exactly how God designed it. So thank you for reminding us he's our stronghold, he's our salvation, not just here when we go into surgery, but he's going to be our stronghold and our salvation for an eternity, because we're not just here for this life, but we're here for the eternal life of heaven as well.
Yeah, beautiful. And, I just love how Jesus himself reiterates that time and time again. He's talking to Jairus, whose daughter has just died, says to him, to the dad, fear not. Only believe. He talks to his disciples, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, fear not, I'm your light and salvation. Again and again, Jesus himself says it. So, great passage. I think it's very worthy of being in the top 10 passages. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?